This interview is with Stacy Weaver Jr. on Friday, November the 3rd, 2000.
When did you become a college attorney?
Fairly early in the process. I think actually Joe Talley filed the articles of incorporation. He was involved in the original group. But I think that's about all he did. And after that, I became a college attorney. And I think I've been the only attorney they've had, except when they needed outside specialties. So the articles were filed in 56, and Dad came down here in 57, so since 57, for sure.
I enjoyed reading your father's memoirs.
Oh, did you read that?
It's fascinating, all the things that he did, even while he was president. He served on some state committees.
Yeah. He was always involved in state school law, I think, and he was on some legislative commissions and involved in that over the years. And I think he was involved in the group that actually set up public television in North Carolina. He was on that commission too. Yeah.
When he first
yes. Of course, it was the committee that asked him to come. I had no knowledge that they'd ask him. I had come to Fayetteville in 54 to practice law with Terry Sanford, Charlie Rose, Congressman's father. And of course, Terry was involved from the beginning in the formation of committees that actually enticed the Methodist. I don't want to over-answer your question, but there was, if you recall, the Presbyterian drive. Now they were going to consolidate Presbyterian Junior College and Floyd McDonald College, and maybe one other institution, into one institution. And they put out the word, and so there was a committee. Now, there were communities that were bidding on the college, and Fayetteville was one of them, Rocky Mountain. And then they selected Laurinburg for the Presbyterian school. But Fayetteville had an organized committee and had pledges of community support up to $2 million. And Terry was quick to call the bishop of the Methodist Church in Eastern North Carolina at that time. In fact, I was in his office when and said, well, we got these pledges. Isn't this a good time for the Methodists to be establishing a college? And at that time, they weren't thinking about two colleges. They were thinking about one. So as a result, the bishop appointed a committee of lay people in the conference to study the communities that were bidding on the college. So the committee, I think, couldn't make up their minds between Fayetteville and Rocky Mountain, so they said, we'll just have two colleges. And that's what happened.
Did you
Yeah.
But they decided to plunge into two, plus pulling Mark really out, Lewis broke down, so financial difficulties as well the same year.
That's right. I'd forgotten about that. Well, that's some support, which was quite an undertaking for the communities as well as the church. And actually, the $2 million that was pledged in Fayetteville eventually evolved into a community campaign every year. I think they collected a certain amount of the original $2 million that was pledged, but there was shrinkage of those pledges. So, in order to make up for that, there was an organized community campaign every year for a number of years, and still is.
Still is.
Yeah.
Some of the staunch Presbyterians in town were able to donate half of their money to St. Andrew's when they found out that the college was coming to Fayetteville. They saved half of it and gave it to them.
Yeah. Yes, that was a large gift, and there were a number of donors. And I was involved in that, piecing it together, the properties. In fact, I think all of the properties originally were deeded to Wilson Yarborough Sr., who was on the original board. Then, when the college was formed, he deeded it all over to the college. But the properties came from various sources. Some of it contributed a little of the ball. 600 acres indeed was a large tract of land, still is.
It's kind of
handy
with the golf course and
some
of the other things that
we're
doing now.
That's true.
Your father had a lot of experience.
Yes.
And
at Statesville and at Jonesville, he was involved in building schools at each of those locations. I think it goes into some detail in the Yadkin County thing in his memoirs, but he was always fascinated with that because he was staunchly Republican county that built a consolidated school, and they had litigation about the legality of it. His uncle was at that time, chilling on the wall here, he was Chief Justice of the Supreme Court of North Carolina, and he wouldn't sit on the case. Came from that county, and so the lower court was upheld, which was a 3-3, otherwise it was 3-3 split, and so the lower court was upheld and they lost. So he went up to Asheville and got a similar case brought, and that came eventually in North Carolina Supreme Court, and I sat on the case, and it reversed. Just a trial court set of precedent, got his school built. So he was very proud of that, and I remember that he spent many hours with Marion Allen, who was the attorney in the school district. And when he came to Statesville, he built a new high school, gymnasium there, and I'm sure other buildings. Too young to mention all that. And in Durham, they built new schools. An auditorium now named for him there. So he was always involved in construction.
People still talk about the fact that a lot of those buildings were built at very low interest negotiated well with that.
Yes, and there were a couple of government buildings out there, dormitories there. There were initial dormitories with those buildings on the right, just as you come into the campus. I don't know what use have been made of them now.
Now it's called Honors Hall.
Honors Hall.
The apartments and students have to have certain rent on average.
Okay.
It's especially helpful to students like the PA students who go here now.
Mm-hmm.
Stay there on vacation, so.
Those are government financed, federally financed, men who are in Atlanta. So I remember going with him to do that. But those were the initial dormitories. And they obviously had a good reason to invest.
They were dedicated trustees when they were these things.
Yes, mm-hmm. All of them, they certainly were. And they were good people that got the college started. All of them this time. Well, that's interesting because my impression has been that nobody knows who he is or who he was out there. I mean, among the student body.
And I know there's a, I don't know if you've seen the video of the history of the college.
I don't think so.
I'll have to get you a copy of that.
Okay.
It's made of a series of slides and history and narration. Quite a bit about your father.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, Terry Sapp.
Yeah.
In fact, there's a freshman have to go through a course called IDS, and it's learning skills and helping get used to college life.
Mm-hmm.
Everything from money management to time management to history of college is included.
That's interesting.
And they do know very much.
Mm-hmm. Well, I hadn't seen that video, so I'm not aware that the that all the students had to go through that orientation part.
To me, it's such a young college. To them, I guess it seems like it's been there forever.
Probably so.
Been part of it for a long time. Since we're young.
Yeah. See, when I went to Duke in 47, Dad had graduated from Trinity in 24. Didn't change his name to Duke to 25. So actually it was less than 25 years old when I started school there, but I thought of it as an established old college. Well, the roots behind when it was Trinity College before the university, it did go way back. But as far as something similar was going on. Students. I don't think of it as a new school.
What is it? Now, your father lived in Prince Charles.
Yeah, that's right. Dr. Pittman owned the hotel at the time. He lived there a while the home on Wayford Road was being completed. And the college buying it from the Broadwell brothers, Don and Wayward Broadwell. And he lived there in the old time. He was the president of it.
Now, your mother didn't join in the beginning, did she?
Well, she would, if she stayed in Durham, it may be for a while to sell the house he had up there or something. But, I don't remember that there was any prolonged separation. And I might not remember well.
Of course, he had to go through the Southern Association accreditation for the first time in college. His experience in the public school system and the North Carolina Education Association must have been.
Yeah, I'm sure it was. probably all of his education connections, which were pretty good, pretty varied. He was active nationally, president of the Horace Mann League. We used to go to the NEA meetings. So he was very well connected in the educational community, both state and federal.
Were there any parts of the president that your father seemed to enjoy more than others?
Yeah, I probably didn't see as much of that as I did when he was the principal of the school. But he, I think, enjoyed the interaction of the students very much. He enjoyed helping young people, seeing them get a good education. He enjoyed the interaction with them. I will remember, it doesn't have anything to do with Methodists, but living in Statesville, he got a visit in the middle of the night from one of his former high school students into Guadalcanal and wounded. He just wanted to come by and visit and tell him about it. Like, you know, and he helped at that time young people get into school, get into college that he thought were deserving. Really poor backgrounds, and he got a lot of pleasure out of that. But you know, when he got to Methodist, I was not in a position to see that sort of interaction with students, but I know that was very important to him.
Yes or no, sometimes.
Okay, yeah. That was, well, I didn't get to see much of that aspect of the college because I was not involved. I was, busy with my own practice, raising the family. And whenever he asked me for assistance, I gave it to him. Beginning without charging anything, because it was a sort of a charity to me, because it was just starting.
There was no money.
There was no real little money to pay anybody.
We look at Sam Edwards doing five different jobs.
Yeah.
Talking to some of the others, like Ben Womack, somebody who taught religion, and he said, "I was the religion and philosophy department."
Challenges from starting a college from a cotton field, as he used to say. I don't know if it literally was a cotton field, but it was close.
The Taylors tell me their part was.
There was cotton out there in the Taylor. Well, and that can be literally true.
Because I remember an old farm that existed for quite some time.
Yeah, that's right.
The amount of money that the college had in the beginning probably sounded like a lot of money.
just knew what I saw. I'm going to set this thermostat down. Yeah, we used to go out and see all of the construction as it was going on.
Must have been about your
children. Oh, yeah. And my old boy fell through one of the holes up there in one of the initial buildings. He just caught himself, though, on the side. I remember rescuing him from that plight. Yeah, it was important. We go out there on the weekend and see the college coming out of the ground.
So it became a family.
Yeah, it was. Starting it, and I was too. I don't take any credit for that, but I was involved in doing things that put the college in place from a legal structure standpoint, and involved with various financings that went on because they had to give liens. Yes, he did. He was very generous with his time. And a very well motivated person. And he was very fond of Methodist. I'm happy that one of the things that happened when Bill Hurley was mayor was that we had an event at Methodist in Terry's Island. Painting. It wasn't a portrait, but done by a local artist, and had various people to appear on the program. It's been important in Terry's life. And that was a nice occasion. I'm glad that that happened.
One of the last times he was on campus, one of our alumni said, "Big Daddy."
Well, that was good. That was a nice gesture as well. And he was certainly deserving of it.
He was. He accomplished. He said that he accomplished a great deal.
Yeah.
When you think of the people that have fallen to his hand in a lifetime,
yeah,
hard work.
That's right. And it was a financial sacrifice, but they had to get. As a city superintendent, and they offered him here, as you might suppose. But that in itself is some indication of the character of the person. Not everybody would do that.
Mrs. Page, who's the widow of one of the trustees of the college,
Really?
Very active.
Yes, he was. And he was a delegate to the, not only to the conference, but he was a delegate to the general conference, which was a national meeting. Tell you about it, but I really enjoyed being associated with it over the years, handling its legal problems, and I'm happy to say we made very little litigation over the years, and I figure that if we haven't, I'm doing my job. Keeping down. Any faculty can skinny present. And keep happy out of it. But yeah, I think that school has been fortunate not to have any more real legal difficulty.
And having been here before the college started, you can see the, well, what the community put into the college and then
yes.
What the college is giving back to the community.
Well, that's right. Deal. It's been a lot to it. It still is. And the community has responded as well and supported the college, which is pretty remarkable when you consider how transient this community is. They're just people you know today and they're gone. Nature of it. Have failed.
But there weren't as many military in college in the early days.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
That's what it's like. It's grown, grown. I think about the early days when, so now we have a little police force that literally police
yes.
Department.
Certainly welcome. For what is your work?
Well, I learned some things today. Every time I talk with someone else, I learn something from them.
Well, I hope so. You learned some. I hope something's been worthwhile, but I enjoyed talking.